You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Moisés le dijo al Señor, Tú insistes en que yo debo guiar a este pueblo, pero no me has dicho a quién enviarás conmigo. También me has dicho que soy tu amigo y que cuento con tu favor. Pues si realmente es así, dime qué quieres que haga. Así sabré que en verdad cuento con tu favor. Ten presente que los israelitas son tu pueblo. Yo mismo iré contigo y te daré descanso, respondió el Señor. ¿O vas con todos nosotros? Replicó Moisés. O mejor, no nos hagas salir de aquí. Si no vienes con nosotros, ¿cómo vamos a saber, tu pueblo y yo, que contamos con tu favor? ¿En qué seríamos diferentes de los demás pueblos de la tierra? Está bien, haré lo que me pides, lo dijo el Señor a Moisés, pues cuentas con mi favor y te considero mi amigo. Déjame verte en todo tu esplendor, insistió Moisés. Y el Señor le respondió, voy a darte pruebas de mi bondad y te daré a conocer mi nombre y verás que tengo clemencia de quien quiero tenerla y soy compasivo con quien quiero serlo, pero debo aclararte que no podrás ver mi rostro, porque nadie puede verme y seguir con vida. Cerca de mí hay un lugar sobre una roca, añadió el Señor. Puedes quedarte allí cuando yo pase en todo mi esplendor. Te pondré en una hendidura de la roca y cubriré con mi mano hasta que haya pasado.
Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send me with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know in the order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, Please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy in whom I will show mercy. But he said, You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. That's the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Everybody hear me pretty good? Well, thank you guys again for the opportunity to bring God's word to this church today. Definitely thankful and grateful for this opportunity to serve you guys. And so, a little bit about me. I know it's kind of weird sometimes being like a guest preacher. You're just like, who's this guy up here? But I'm originally from South Carolina. I became a Christian while I was in college 12 years ago. And since then, I've just been wanting to serve the Lord wherever he may lead me and guide me. And I was interested and thought about maybe doing ministry. And of all places, the Lord sent me out to Maui. And I went out to Maui, served out a church there. And as I was out there, just serving out a church, I began to really, for the first time, just read God's word for myself. And I got to know God through his word. And we see in scripture that God ultimately reveals himself through his word. And I became just more in love with the Lord and his word, and felt a call to just really continue to pursue ministry. And that led me to leave Maui and come to Chicago, of all places. And so it better be the Lord if you leave Maui to come to Chicago, right? The Lord better be with you. And as we see in this passage, we're going to talk about the Lord with his people. And so with that, before we look at today's passage, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for today, this sunny day that you have given us, and it's time to gather here and open up your word. Thank you that you have given us your word, and that you reveal yourself through your word, and pray that you would open our eyes and ears and prepare our hearts right now, God, to receive your word, and that you would minister to each one of us as we need to this morning, God. And we just ask for your blessing and your working in this service. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So the title of the sermon is The Favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. And doesn't that sound like a good thing? The favor of the Lord. From my short experience in life, everybody wants the favor of the Lord, right? Everybody does. People want God's blessings. They want God's gifts. They want his protection, his provision. People want the Lord's favor. And when something good happens to people, many times they make comments like, blessings from above, and thank you, Lord, and even say the Lord's favor. From big things in life, like finding a spouse, to getting a place to live, or a job, or having kids, to even small things in life, like finding the right parking space, or getting the last slice of pizza at the table with family and friends, right? These phrases are used so often that I've even heard unbelievers say them. People that don't really even believe in God, or that you can even know God, they say phrases like this. And the Bible talks about God's favor toward his people in numerous ways. And in this passage, this prayer of Moses, we have two evidences of God's favor toward his people. That God does show favor toward his people. And my main point is that the Lord shows his favor with his presence and revelation. God shows his favor with his presence and revealing himself to his people. And so this passage is a prayer of Moses, and we see Moses asking for two things. We see Moses asking for God's presence in verse 12 through 17. And that God would show him his glory, God's revelation of himself in verses 18 through 23. And so you guys have been going through Exodus, if you've been here. And if not, we've seen in the story of Exodus that Moses was the man that God chose to lead his people, Israel, out of Egypt and into the land that God had promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And last week, we heard a story, a vivid story of God's faithfulness, but Israel's faithlessness to worship only him. And they began worshiping this golden calf. And as a result of their sin is death. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy, as we'll see in this passage, and that the result of sin is death. And some of the Israelites died from the sword of the priest and some from the plague of the Lord. But also, right before this prayer of Moses that we're going to look at, God tells Moses that he will give Israel the land that he promised, but he will not be with them. God said, I will give you the land, I will keep my promises, but I will not be with you. Instead, he will send an angel. And so we need to look at this passage to understand what Moses is praying here. So look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 2 and 3. God says, I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, all these people in that land. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, this good land that he promised to his people, but God says, I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. God says his people are stiff-necked, meaning hard-hearted, stubborn, and sinful in their disobedience toward him. And so God says, I'm going to keep my promises, but I will not be with you. I'm going to send you an angel. And so now we are here at this prayer of Moses. And the first thing Moses prays for is God's presence. Let's read verse 12 through 17. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he, Moses, said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. So at the beginning of this prayer, Moses prays, you have not let me know whom you will send with me. But earlier, as we just read in verse 2, God said, I will send an angel with you. So why is Moses praying, you have not let me know whom you will send with me, and yet God said, I will send an angel with you? Moses is praying and pleading for God's presence. He doesn't want an angel to be with him. Even if God is still going to drive out all the inhabitants of the land and keep his promises and bring his people into that promised land, Moses wants the presence of the Lord. He wants God's presence with him and the people. And this goes back to the very beginning when God first called Moses in Exodus 3 at that burning bush, the story that many people have heard about. And God calls Moses and commissions Moses to go to Pharaoh, send out his people. And Moses responds, who am I to go to Pharaoh to bring the people out? And God tells him, I will be with you, Moses. And this is the sign that I am with you. This is the sign for you, Moses, that I will be with you, that I, the Lord, have sent you, that Moses has God's presence with him. And so through all the amazing events of Exodus, all the plagues, the Red Sea parting, all of God's provision on the way to the mountain, and even Moses meeting God there on the mountain, Moses has learned throughout the Exodus story that God's presence makes all the difference. And so he wants God's presence with him still. He doesn't want the angel. He wants God's presence with him and the people. I'm a sports guy. I love playing sports and watching sports. I don't know if you guys like sports, even if it's just to watch sports, but if you ever watch sports or play sports, you recognize that there's certain players that make a difference, right? They're difference makers. And when they're on the court or they're on the field with you, you know that you don't just have a shot to win, but you should win. And you'll be shocked if you didn't win. I mean, there's certain athletes that just have certain abilities and skills that are just out of this world. And this is just a small picture of how certain mortal people can make a difference just in a sports game. But how much more with God, with his people? He is the ultimate difference maker. And Moses has seen that and experienced that in his own life through this Exodus story. And he wants God with him. He wants God with his people, not an angel. And so Moses is praying Moses is praying for himself and for the people that God would be with them. All right. He says in verse 13, consider too, this nation is your people. All right. And God answers, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So God says, I will be with you, Moses. But Moses keeps praying in verse 15. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we, the people, are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? All right, so Moses wants God with the people, not just him, but with the whole people. Moses is praying for God's presence, both for himself and the people. If we remember, Israel, because of their sin and their hard hearts and stiff necks, God had drawn back from the people. All right. Also, right before this prayer of Moses is recounting of an amazing story of Moses in the tent of meeting, it was called, where Moses alone would go into this tent and pray to God and have conversation with God. It would say Moses met with God face to face like a friend. But everyone else stood far off at their own tents. And they just waited and they watched and worshiped as Moses himself went in there and met with the Lord. But so Moses is now praying, hey, God, we need your presence. I and your people. He is praying for God's presence both for himself and the people. I mean, what good is it if God is just with Moses alone and not with all of his people? They all need God's presence. And so we see Moses praying for himself, but also he and the people, I and your people, us. This is what makes us distinct, that you, the one true God, are with your people. And so one of the main evidences of the Lord's favor is that he is with his people, his presence. The Lord's favor is shown by giving his presence to his people. Verse 16 clearly says it. It says, for how shall it be known that I have found favor, I and the people? Is it not your going with us? So one of the evidences of the Lord's favor is his presence with his people. And when it talks about favor here, it's very similar to meaning God's grace, God's acceptance. Reading this story, I think of it as catching the gracious eye of God. Knowing that God is holy and we are sinners, but yet God in his grace sees us, accepts us, and he shows his favor, his blessing in this story by giving his presence to his people. And this is something for us to consider even today. I mean, what if God guaranteed you and I all kinds of success in life and work and family, marriage, you name it. But he was not with us in any of it. What about even as a church? If this church were to grow in numbers, double in size every month, you know, you have ministries that are forming and growing and building. Budgets are growing in churches. More opportunities to do things to people, to minister to people that are in need. But what if God wasn't in any of that? He wasn't in any of that. He wasn't with the church in any of those things. By all external appearances, it would look okay and like things are going great and success, but spiritually, God wouldn't be with us. Would we be okay with that? As individuals, as a church, if we had all kinds of success, but God wasn't with us, would we be okay with that? And even here, God says, I will give you an angel in success. But Moses says, no, no. He doesn't settle with that. He pleads for God's presence. He admits his need for God's presence. He's saying, I need you in your presence. And not just me, but the people too. We need you, Lord. And one of the reasons Moses says is that so that we are distinct from all the other people on the face of the earth. And here's the truth. What makes God's people, is his presence. This is what makes God's people different from every other people, every other group, religion on the face of the earth, is that God is actually with his people. Without God's presence, they are no different than any other people on the face of the earth, and the same is true for us. And this is what sets Christians apart. We believe God, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, but through our faith in Jesus, God's presence is actually with us and in us. You might think, well, if God is God, then he's everywhere anyways, right? He's with all people all the time, right? And the Bible does indeed talk about that God is everywhere, that we cannot run from God. But the Bible also talks about God giving his special presence to only his people. And God's people are set apart. They are distinct. They are made distinguished because of the favor he shows in giving his presence to them. So the Lord shows his favor with his presence to his people. And God answers this prayer. We see in verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." God says yes. God desires to dwell with his people. So God had drawn back, but God is now drawing back near to his people. The Lord shows his favor with his presence. But the Lord also shows his favor in revealing himself to his people. They don't just have his presence, they know God. Let's read verse 18 through 23. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." And so this is a story that maybe many people have heard and many people reference. Moses praying, "Lord, show me your glory." And God's glory is the totality of who he is, right? Everything about God, his character, his nature, his attributes, characteristics, what makes God God is all wrapped up in his glory. God's glory is his special, unique magnificence. And theologians call it God's weightiness. It's the total sum of what makes God God. God's glory is so special and central to who he is. It's why he created the world in the first place. He created the world for his glory. And it's why he takes sin so seriously, because sin is belittling his glory. As we disobey him and sin against him, it belittles God's glory. And God's glory is a serious thing. And Moses boldly prays, "Lord, show me your glory." And this is continuing what he prayed earlier in verse 13. He says, "Show me your ways," meaning, "God, show me your character that I may know you. Show me your ways that I may know you." And he says, "Show me your glory" here. And we saw earlier, back in that story that I referenced earlier, in Exodus 3, when God showed up to Moses at the burning bush, in this magnificent sight of God in this burning bush, but it was not consumed. And God told him his name there, that he is the Lord. He said, "I am the Lord. I am who I am." And we see in the Bible, many times, names mean something. Names mean something many times in the Bible, especially when it comes to God. I mean, this is something that's sometimes lost in our culture, because many times we pick names for our kids because parents like the way it sounds, or maybe it's a family name. But perhaps maybe you have a name that's has a special meaning that was given to you for a specific reason. Me, I was not. My name's kind of lame and weak. Wes, which is just short for Wesley. It just means Western Field or Western Meadow. So it's not the best name. I was simply given that name because that's my dad's name. But like I said, many times in the Bible, names have significance. There's a reason why people are given the name that they have. Even with Moses, he was given his name for a reason. Moses meant to draw out. He was given that name because he, in the midst of a mass murder call of the Israelite boys, he was hidden in a basket, sent down the river, and he was drawn out of the water. And so he was given the name Moses. And likewise, God's name reveals who he is. It tells us something about God and who he is, his character, what he is like. And so what's God's response when Moses says, "Show me your glory"? In verse 19, he says, "I will proclaim before you my name." I will proclaim before you my name. God reveals so much of who he is by his name. And so earlier when he said, "I am the Lord," which we say Yahweh or Jehovah, back then in Exodus 3, he said, "I am who I am. I am the unchanging, eternal God." And here, God shows his favor by revealing himself to Moses in a greater way, unveiling more of who he is as he proclaims his name to Moses. So what do we learn here about the Lord and who he is? Let's see, verse 19. "I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live.'" First thing we see is that God is good. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." God is good. Everything about God is good. Everything about him. The sum total of his characteristics and his nature is good. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." That's why when God created the world, it was all good, very good, because it came from a good God. The essence of who God is goodness. He is good. So we see God is good. And the second thing we see is that God is gracious and merciful. God says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And another word for mercy is compassion. So we see God is gracious and merciful, compassionate. Because he can only show grace and mercy and compassion if he is, in fact, those things. God is gracious and merciful and compassionate. And he shows grace and mercy on whomever he desires. And that leads to the third thing we see about God, that God is sovereign. You see, many times when we think about, you hear the word sovereign and the sovereignty of God, we think about it only in the sense that God is in total control of everything, which is true. God is in control of every little thing that happens. Everything that happens in the world, he is in control. Everything that happens in our life, he's in control. But another aspect of God's sovereignty is that he does whatever he desires. He does whatever he desires, whatever he pleases. He answers to no one. He is a sovereign God. That's why he says, "I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful on whom I will be merciful." God is in control, and he does whatever he pleases. He is a sovereign God who is good and gracious and merciful and compassionate. But we also see that God, and all those beautiful things, God is also holy. God is holy. In verse 20 through 23, the story ends with God saying, "But you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" The Lord is holy. Holy means set apart, unique, And what makes God set apart is that he's perfect in every single way. In all of his characteristics, he is perfect. He has no flaw, no shortcoming, no weakness. He is perfect in every way. He is holy, and there's no one like him. He is perfect in goodness, perfect in grace, perfect in mercy and compassion, perfect in righteousness and justice. And this is why sinful humans cannot see him and live. God says, you cannot see me and live, because God is holy and we are not. We are sinful. Although we were made in God's likeness, in his image, we are born into sin and have corrupted that image. And we have all sinned against him. That's why man cannot see God and live. Even Moses himself, God's leader of his people, could not see him and live. And so Moses is given the chance to only see part of God. This is what is meant by to see God's back. He says, you cannot fully see me face to face, but I will show you my backside, a partial revelation. And so God hides Moses in the cleft of the rock, covers him with his hand, passes by him, and reveals himself, part of him, to Moses as he removes his hand. And Moses sees partially of God, a partial view of God. And so this is an incredible display of God and his favor answering Moses' prayer and giving his presence to Moses and the people. And God also showing his favor and revealing himself to Moses. But it was only a partial view. Even though this was a great experience, and we can read this story and think about how cool it would be there if we were in Moses' spot, but it was only a partial revelation. But God, in his grace, has shown us greater favor. He's shown us favor in greater ways than what we see here. Because God ultimately showed his favor by sending his presence and fully revealing himself even more through Jesus Christ. In John 1:18, when Jesus, as the Apostle John recounts Jesus, the Son of God who came into this world, took on flesh, in John 1:18, it says, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So no one has ever seen God, but God the Son, who was at the Father's side, came into this world to make God known. God's presence was here on earth in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, truly God, truly man. And the only way sinners can see God fully without dying is through Jesus. And Jesus came into the world from the Father's side to reveal God to man. And through reading and observing the life of Jesus, we can know God and who God is like through Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's nature. So you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Read the life of Jesus. His words and teachings and works. God has fully revealed himself through his Son. And for those of us who have turned and believed in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we are brought into God's family. We are brought into God's family, and we can know God personally. Jesus is the way to the Father. He brings us into God's family by believing in him as our Savior. And at the moment we believe, as I said earlier, God sends his presence in us. So God shows his favor to believers in a greater way, and that he sends his presence in us, and we have God, the Holy Spirit, in us. And this is what makes us distinct in the world today. And so even though Moses could not fully see God and live, we are promised as Christians, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, one day we will see God face to face. And that's how the Bible ends. It says, through faith in Jesus, believers are assured, we are promised that we will dwell with God, and God will dwell with us, and we shall see him face to face for all eternity. We will get to experience something that Moses desired to experience here, but couldn't. And that's only for believers in Jesus. So to wrap things up here, what are some of the takeaways for us today? do we believe God to be who he is? That he is good, he is gracious, he is merciful, and that he is holy, as he revealed himself here to Moses. As Christians, let's ponder on those truths, meditate on those truths, and worship God because of who he is, and live in light of those truths, as his image bears here on earth. But also, do we each know and remember each day that we need God's presence? Yes, if we're a Christian, as I said, we have God's presence in us, but are we depending upon God's presence in our life, in the things we do? But my encouragement is that may we be desperate for God's presence like Moses was. It's easy to go through life and depend upon ourselves, but if we believe in Jesus, we have God within us. We need to depend on God's presence and be desperate for his presence to lead us and guide us and work through us, just as Moses was desperate for God's presence. And if you're not a Christian, then know that the Lord, the one true God, he has revealed himself through Jesus. And we can know God personally through Jesus if we surrender and believe in Jesus as our Savior. That is the way we can know God. Man cannot see God and live. The only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus. He brings us to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are good and gracious and merciful, compassionate, and that you are holy. We thank you for your Son. Thank you for the promise of your favor to your people and giving your presence to us, giving your presence in us, and making yourself known through your word and through your Son. And God, may we just grow in our love for you and our dependence upon you and our spirit each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.